Leaving home for the first time and living on a college campus as a teenager and experiencing a different kind of freedom inevitably leads to multiple options and choices that young people haven't had to make before. As extensive reporting has shown, that has resulted in many of those campuses seeing sexual assaults and questions about gender roles and the definition of consent. Those are some of the issues that Jennifer Hirsch and Seamus Khan of Columbia University researched as part of the greater Sexual Health Initiative to Foster Transformation, or SHIFT. The two did extensive interviews with 151 students and documented the results in their book, Sexual Citizens, and Hirsch and Khan are with me. Seamus, first to you, when it came to answering your questions, what was the comfort level of the students, and did it vary?
I think that the students were quite comfortable talking about the research, in part because they found it cathartic. One of the things that we found in Sexual Citizens was that very few people talk with young people about their sex lives. Very few people talk with them about, you know, what their experiences are. And so for those students who'd been assaulted, you know, we did interviews with students who'd experienced multiple assaults. And while we were sort of crushed by that experience, many of them walked out saying, like, you know, it was great that somebody finally listened to me. And for other students, you know, I think many of them felt that sexual assault was a real problem on college campuses, not just at Columbia, but beyond. And that, you know, participating in our research was in some ways like a social responsibility, something that they really wanted to do to help us prevent sexual assaults from happening on campus.
And what is our responsibility as adults, as people who have lived through some of these things, to encourage people to talk more about it, whether it was a bad circumstance or an average circumstance, whatever, maybe one that didn't necessarily involve an attack or an assault, just the willingness to be more open about our sexuality?
The point is to focus on the responsibility, not really of the people to come forward, but instead of the communities to help create safer spaces where assaults are less likely to happen. And so, you know, there were so many young people who told us stories of sexual encounters that, you know, definitely bordered on the profoundly uncomfortable, and that made us very uncomfortable to hear. So for example, one young woman told us this story about being in a room with a young man and not really wanting to be there anymore. And she said to us, well, I just performed oral sex on him so I could get out of there. And when Jennifer and I hear that story, we think not so much about what she should have done in that context, but instead what we as communities should have done in terms of raising that young man to be more attentive to her feelings and experiences, and in raising her to have what we call a fuller sense of sexual citizenship, which is her right to say yes to sex and her recognition of her right to say no to sex and her realization that other people have the same rights.
I think a parallel, or rather a contrast, is if you think about driving. There are so many levels of social effort in place to make sure that young people can do what is actually like a pretty dangerous behavior, right? Moving a two-ton vehicle through the world in a way that doesn't harm other people. And so there's driver's ed, and there's road design, and there's car design, and there's speed bumps. And this is all like, this is, it's been a real success in terms of reducing traffic deaths. And if you think about sex, like, where is the equivalent effort? How are we? So what you see on campuses is that young people have not had the opportunity to learn how to have sex without hurting other people. It's because we're not teaching them.
How different were the 151 students you spoke with in terms of their backgrounds, maybe their family lives, maybe their ethnic background, maybe their gender identity?
So we sampled the 151 students intentionally to represent the diversity of the Columbia and Barnard undergraduate communities. So they represent the racial and ethnic and social class and international, sort of all of the ways in which the undergraduate student body is diverse, except maybe for disability. We didn't intentionally sample students with disabilities who do have higher rates of being assaulted. But in most of the consequential ways, it was a very representative group of undergraduates.
And I would note that Columbia is a very diverse campus. So about half the students we spoke to were not white, for example. You know, so we Columbia and Barnard happen to be quite, in some ways, almost representative of the nation as a whole in terms of its racial and ethnic composition, and have more international students than your average American community. And so we were able to capture a pretty wide breadth of experiences in our interviews.
Jennifer, before we got started, you mentioned that you get the mom question, so here it comes. Did it affect how you think about the perspectives of other parents or other folks who are trying to guide their children to act in a way that they can have pleasure from and not lead to bad things?
So a couple of responses to the mom question. I mean, during the time that we did the research, my older son was headed off to college, and seeing the overall level of suffering that students experience. And I think that this is when people read the book, which really, it pulls back the curtain on what it's like to be an undergraduate on campus today. They'll see that there is a lot of suffering, and not just related to sexual assault, but students whose parents die, students facing a crushing burden of debt, students dealing with family illness. It made it really hard to say goodbye to Isaac when he left. And I also, you know, I know that there are a lot of parents who are uncomfortable talking with their kids about sex. But there is, on average, 10 years between young people's first sexual experience and when they get married in America. And kids do a lot of things that we don't want them to do, right? I can't even get my kids to floss their teeth. Like, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you tell them, they just won't do it. And so I think that we as parents need to acknowledge that from the moment that our kids start to separate, they're becoming their own people. And all we can do is either intentionally shape their values or else sort of abdicate our responsibility as parents and let their values be shaped by pornography and advertising.
The book, Sexual Citizens, has one of the words in the subtitle is power. Seamus, how we often hear about how sexuality and power work together, but there's a deeper realm of power I think you look at in the book. How would you describe how important power is to this whole dynamic?
One of the main points of Sexual Citizens is just how important power is, that we can't think about sexual assault without thinking about power inequalities. And a particular kind of power inequality that we think is really sort of underthought about is space and geography and the ways in which control over space create massive power inequalities on college campuses. We can think about this in lots of ways. For example, on campuses that have fraternity and sorority life, by national rule, the fraternities are allowed to serve alcohol and sororities are not. And that effectively gives men control over the spaces where alcohol is served and where parties happen. And that power asymmetry really has effects, we find, on the ways in which sexual assault on campus works. You know, we also saw all kinds of ways in which, you know, freshmen were pushed out of spaces that they had control over into spaces that more senior students had control over, in part because there was a natural assumption that seniors should have better spaces on campus. But what this meant was that they were put into places where they were comparatively disempowered, and the capacity to raise your voice under situations like that really diminishes. And so Jennifer and I were really interested in the many ways that power worked, both in terms of sort of the classic ones of gender and race, but also in particular space and how space function. And the reason that's so important to us is that given that we're interested in preventions, this provides us with something that's really modifiable, something we could change on campus to make sexual assault less likely to happen.
So where does, or where does it not, our physical maturity align with our emotional maturity? Because some of what the two of you said, and I'm sure it's evident in Sexual Citizens and in other conversations people may have, that if you're trying to have a notch board there and you're, it's just all about having the physical experience, it takes away the idea that as a mature adult, you hope it's a sort of a combination of a physical and emotional and a mental experience. Where does all that come down to?
Well, I think that young people's emotional maturity is in large part a product of the communities that they come from. I mean, so many of the young people that we talked to at college today, you know, they told us stories of their parents sitting them down and talking to them about the importance of their career and the importance of doing well in school and the importance of making sure that tend to picking the right major, et cetera. Very, very few young people, I don't know if any of them, explained a situation where their parents sat down and said to them, you know, sex and your interrelationships with people is going to be one of the most important parts of your life, one of the most important parts of your life with some of the people who are going to be the most important in your life. And you need to figure out what you want out of that and how you're going to be responsible in doing it. And so, you know, again and again, Jennifer and I point to the ways in which this is everyone's job to do. And we can't point to young people and sort of say, well, maybe they're just not emotionally mature enough, or, you know, maybe we could just like make sure they do this one thing and everything will be fixed. We really have to reorganize the ways in which we raise up young people so that they have that emotional maturity. And I have to say, you know, when we were talking to these young people, interviewing 150 of them, but also, you know, talking to hundreds of others all around campus, these are, you know, rich, fully developed people. They're capable of this. And, you know, we're concerned about the ways in which our communities have failed them.
Jennifer Hirsch and Seamus Khan of Columbia University are the co-authors of Sexual Citizens, a landmark study of sex, power, and assault on campus. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.